Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Friday and a great one at that. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now off a winning week, Blazing Five. Love the Blazing Five this week, going after some of the biggest games this week. And Joy Taylor is joining me on a Friday. Joy, I've got a sweater on. I'm headed to a little ski trip this weekend.
So. We're matching.
We are matching. I'm excited. I had my ski season start for me with my kids this weekend.
That is going to be fun.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Get some outdoor fresh air.
Yeah, God, don't I
Doesn't
need...
it feel good to, like...
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird how much you appreciate fresh air now. When I'm, like, in my car and I'm on the highway, all the windows are down, I'm like, safe air.
Safe air. Good to have you in. So what you saw last night, this is what a New England offense looks like against the top five defense. 10 first downs, 200 total yards, 3 for 16 on third and fourth down. And the quarterback, 9 for 16 and a 53 quarterback rating. For the record, they scored 6 points against the good San Francisco defense and 3 against the Rams. This is with the best football coach in the history of the National Football League. That's what they are. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. The GOAT left. Cam looks inept. The difference between quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, running back talent, New England or Rams isn't even close. And by the way, what we saw last night and what we've seen this year, it's called Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. The system, the coach, the system. Then Tim Duncan got old, they won less, Tim Duncan retires, and they're completely irrelevant. The Spurs are the third best and most relevant team in Texas. Systems need stars. They don't just need them, they're dependent on them. Phil Jackson's system, Shaq and Kobe, and won championships. And Kobe and Gasol, you can win championships. And Kobe by himself with a triangle offense is swept in the first round. Phil Jackson, how do you do when Michael left for baseball? The system doesn't work as well. It's not that you need stars for a system. You're totally dependent on them. New England, though, fell into something I've seen so many times. Old, successful men. The more they won, the more arrogant they got, the more they talked about how great the system was, the less they listened to anybody outside of their sphere. God, I've seen this in broadcasting. I've seen it in football. I've seen it in every business. And then we have a cultural change that the league is becoming more weapons-based. Tight end, wide receiver, running back, quarterback. Of the teams I think can win the Super Bowl today, Green Bay, Kansas City, Cleveland, Rams, Saints, Seattle, Tampa, Buffalo, they don't all have great defenses. They don't all have Hall of Fame coaches. They've all got weapons. New England's now 6-7. They will not make the playoffs. They have no momentum. They don't have a current quarterback. They don't have a future quarterback. I know Belichick can coach defense. Best ever. I know he can coach special teams. Probably best ever. But offensively, this is why Brady left. You can't win big in this league, even with the world's best coach, a top 10 defense, great special teams, when you have a BB gun for an offense. If you took the top 10 skill players in that game last night, quarterback, receiver, tight end, running back, the Rams have all 10. Damian Harris is the only Patriot that is close, but it's the system. It's the system. It's the system. They're dependent on stars. And Sean McVay, by the way, he's got a system too, with a bunch of good players. Belichick's a great coach, the best ever. but I've seen it. So was Popovich, but I've seen it over and over. Mid-70-year-old legend. The more they win, the more you read about the system, the more they think they know, the less they let anybody in. And the system has value. But the Spurs don't have a star, and the Patriots don't have a quarterback. And no great coach or system can win with it. You watched. You've seen it twice this year when they faced a top defense. 6 points against the Niners, 3 against the Rams, 10 first downs, a 53 quarterback rating. Watch the games. Systems have value, but they are wholly dependent on stars. The Kobe, the Shaq, the MJ, the Pippen, the Brady, the Duncan. All right, let's, big game this weekend. I think Buffalo is going to hand it to Pittsburgh. And people have said, you know, you are rough on the Steelers this year. Well, no, because A, I don't just look at records, and that doesn't define how good you are. The Steelers have a problem, and it's a problem that doesn't actually sound like a problem. If I said to you, listen, Pittsburgh this year, man, they are Big Ben. They have never leaned on Big Ben more than now. That's actually a big problem, and there's numbers to back it up. When Ben first came in the league, 2004 to 2011, the Steelers were not Big Ben reliant. In fact, their passer ranking was 32nd in the league, but they won 70% of their games, 10-4 in the playoffs, with 3 Super Bowl appearances. The last 8 years, they become increasingly dependent on Big Ben. His passer rating's gone up. As a team, they're 4th in the NFL in throwing. But now they win 64% of their games, have won only 3 of their last 7 playoff games with no Super Bowl appearances. Pittsburgh doesn't even now try to run the football. And this runs kind of counterintuitive with what you would think. You know, you'd think in baseball you'd want guys that can hit home runs, but the home run champs historically in baseball don't win the World Series. In the NBA, you'd think, I want to get the best score. Scoring champs, last 50 years, do not win championships in the NBA. Shaq did it once, Michael Jordan a couple times. They don't. You'd think having the scoring champ and the home run champ doesn't work that way. In football, it's the same thing. The more you lean into your quarterback, even if he's great, the less chance to win a Super Bowl. So Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl year, where was he in pass attempts in the NFL? 14th. Russell Wilson's Super Bowl winning year, what was he in attempts? 22nd. Well, what about Patrick Mahomes last year? 18th. Now, he did miss a couple of games. Big Ben is number one by a mile in the NFL. It runs counter to what you would think would work. Oh, you got to have a scoring champ in the NBA. Oh, you got to have the home run hitters. You got to have a quarterback you lean on. Josh Allen. Now think about Buffalo, because Buffalo's going to beat Pittsburgh this weekend. So Josh Allen, they got him Cole Beasley. Great slot. They got him Stephon Diggs. They have John Brown. They're not much of a running team. But he's only 9th in attempts. And he looks like, next to Mahomes, one of the 2 best young quarterbacks in the league. He's 9th. And they don't have much of a running game. So let's go to Aaron Rodgers this year. Well, I mean, he and Devontae Adams. They're 13th in passing attempts. The more the Steelers lean in to Ben, the worse the Steelers are. And it's not a shot at Ben. Here's an interesting number for you. In Big Ben's career, when they've asked him to throw, now he's throwing 50 times a game now, just 35 times or more, they're a 500 team. 51-48-1. When they've asked him to throw less than 35, he's 104-24. It's not a shot at Ben. It's not a shot at Rodgers or Russell or Mahomes. But we think scoring champs, home run champs, and lean into the star quarterback wins. It doesn't. Even Ben needs a serviceable running game. Pittsburgh's just stopped even trying to run a football. I mean, just goes to my say it out loud theory. Yeah, as this team, it's really good. They ask their quarterback to throw over 50 times a game. That's like Canadian football. That's like Big 12 football. And Big 12 champs don't beat SEC champs because they have running games.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The LA Rams are a little bit like their rival, the 49ers. We think of the 49ers' Kyle Shanahan as an offensive genius. But they got to a Super Bowl last year because of their defense. It allows Garoppolo, when he's healthy, to be a complementary player. The LA Rams, McVay, we think he's an offensive genius. No, what they're really built around, their defense. It allows Goff to be a complementary player. He had one great throw in the opening drive, one huge throw in the third and fourth quarter. He's allowed to be a complementary player. And when the LA Rams can write the script of a game, McVay's 34-0 leading at half. And last night you could tell in the opening drive, oh, they're writing the script. They're controlling the tempo. They're controlling the line of scrimmage. And Goff is comfortable. When they write the script, they're very uniquely built to beat the NFC. I don't know about Kansas City and Pittsburgh. I don't know. But they're 8-0 against NFC teams not called the Niners, winning by an average of 11 points. When they can write the script, they're really as good as anybody in this league, including, we saw a couple years ago, including Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs. We saw that in L.A. Last night they wrote the script. Green Bay doesn't love to be physical. They can do that. Seattle, bad offensive line. Meet Aaron Donald. Tampa, who's got Mike Evans? Oh, Jalen Ramsey. Put heat on Tom. They did. They really match up with everybody very well in the NFC. But here's something else about the Rams, and it's very unique. For the third year in a row, they are remarkably healthy. Tampa, injuries all year to their stars. Dallas, Philadelphia for 3 years. Seattle fell apart last year. Pittsburgh, Devontae Adams, Green Bay. Rams don't suffer any injuries. What about Todd Gurley? Yep, shipped him off, solved it immediately, Cam Akers. Like they figured that out within a season. Andrew Whitworth is hurt. Well, they've drafted well. They've got a good young player behind him, and Andrew's coming back. He'll be on our show later. Everybody's going to have injuries. No, nobody's saying you go through a season without them. The Todd Gurley dilemma, they had a winning record even with that. But now they have three legitimate running backs. Is it because they don't hit as much in practice? They don't hit as much in practice. Sean McVay was the first coach to do this 2 or 3 years ago. I forget, Joy. No starters play in the preseason. No significant starters. Everybody blanched. Oh, whoa. And he's like, why? He didn't play any of his starters. Now everybody in the league copies it. They have the least hitting in the NFL during practice. Oh, you can't do. I just saw Lamar Jackson have one practice over 2 weeks and beat Dallas. I think they're on the precipice. They're doing some things culturally that nobody else is doing. And you look around this league, it is an attrition league. The Niners have fallen apart. Pittsburgh's fallen apart. Dallas, Philadelphia, Seattle last year. The Rams are, for the third year in a row, overwhelmingly healthy. I mean, I look at them right now. They are Whitworth away from having everybody. Three healthy backs, five healthy receivers, two healthy tight ends, four healthy offensive linemen. Goff not getting hit much, has never missed a game. Aaron's healthy. Brocker's healthy. The secondary has one safety. And by the way, this team drafts a bizarre number of safeties. One safety banged up. All the rest of them good, young, and healthy. So there's a little secret sauce to this cultural movement in the NFL about it's a weapons league. Nobody's weapons stay healthier than the Rams. I don't have an answer for it. They've obviously drafted well. They've got very few whiffs. So if Gurley's out, boom, they've got it solved. Robert Woods misses a game, boom, they've got it solved. But some of this, maybe it's luck. I just don't believe in coincidences, fate, and luck. Once again, last night, against one of the more physical teams, New England, not a single player walked off hurt. Like, that's just the way the Ram games go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So to me, there's the three NFL games that I'm really going to zone in on this weekend are Minnesota playing Tom Brady in Tampa off a bye. Pittsburgh at Buffalo on Sunday Night Football is a really good Sunday Night Football game. And then Baltimore at Cleveland on Monday Night Football. And there's a reason I'm going to watch those games. So I do a Super Bowl bubble. I do it about once a month. These are the teams I think, and some of them are coming off an ugly loss. Some have an injury I don't like, but they have enough things I think that make them a Super Bowl eligible team. So my Super Bowl bubble right now has Buffalo, Kansas City in the AFC, then the Rams, Green Bay, Saints in Seattle. I know Seattle's coming off an ugly loss, but I like them right now. Now, the three teams I have on the outside, the perimeter of it, are the three teams in the three biggest games. If they win or do something that I don't think they're capable of, then they're in. And that would give us nine Super Bowl teams. And again, one of these could lose this weekend and be out. So let's take Tampa. They're 1-3 since Antonio Brown arrived. It doesn't fit. They feel like they're forcing it. They're inconsistent. They're off a bye. Arians and Brady are both great off byes. Strangely, December byes are not as effective as October and November byes in the NFL. It's weird. It's a betting thing. December byes usually aren't as reliable. But if Tampa comes out and can't show me they've used these 10 to 14 days to kind of give me an identity offensively. You know, the Patriots system for years was we don't collect players, we build teams. Right now, Tampa looks like they've collected a bunch of players. I don't feel like there's a symmetry between run game, pass game. So I need to see them not only beat Minnesota, even if it's narrow, but do I feel like offensively, oh, this is what they are. They've got an identity. I don't know what their personality is on offense. Let's talk Pittsburgh. They can't run the football. They're absurdly reliant on Big Ben. Big Ben in his career is a 500 quarterback since he entered this league when asked to throw over 35 times a game. When asked to throw under it, he's won 4 to 5 games. Can they run the ball a little against Buffalo? Can they go on the road with an equal team and a young Big Ben, Josh Allen, and get a little bit of a running game? Because if you're asking them to throw in Buffalo in December 51 times, you're not a Super Bowl team. The third is Cleveland. First of all, I think they have the best offensive line in the league. And PFF says, at least they did last week, it's the best run blocking and pass blocking. That's really rare. That's the Cowboys about 4 years ago. That is really rare. And that ensures that Baker's going to have time, they have a running game, and they're going to win a bunch of games. Trent Dilfer said this years ago, everybody in the NFL, when they lose, acts the same. They're pissed. They put their head down. They're focused. What do you do when you win? That's the difference. Some guys buy this. Some guys do that. Some guys, they lose focus. So Cleveland just had, in my opinion, their biggest win in, I don't even know how many years, 10, 15? Like, go to Tennessee, a team that was lightning in a bottle last year. Vrabel's very respected. Derrick Henry. And really crush them for the first hour and a half of the football game. Just roll them over. But then Cleveland was awful in the second half. And what are they going to do now? Monday Night Football, standalone game. The nation is turning in to see you against the divisional rival. If they put back-to-back wins together, and this is the big TV game. This isn't getting lost on a Sunday. This is everybody's going home to watch Baker and the Browns, and it's divisional rival. They're off their biggest win. If they go out, and they don't even actually, to me, have to win, can they be turnover free? Can they look energized? Can they be focused? Can they be low on penalties? 26-24, either way, I'm like, okay, that's a grown up. Because Baltimore's a real team. I think Baltimore's better than people think. They're a real team. And if Cleveland wins or is really looks smart and like adult, like they're into a Super Bowl bubble.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe right now. If you like football, you'll like my show. Used to scout in the NFL. Now I talk about it. Coming up this weekend, Cam Newton, is he shot? Jared Goff, is he good enough? Sam Darnold, what is he worth in a trade? We dive into the NFC and AFC playoff picture and much more. 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe right now.
So New England just got, it was really bad last night. It was ugly. I mean, you can lose and then it's like ugly. That was ugly. And Bill Belichick was in just a terrific mood when asked about Cam Newton after the game.
You're going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
What has Cam showed you to stick by him so much?
He's our quarterback. I think we just answered that one, Ben.
Yeah, it's a wonderful mood. I don't think there's a ton I don't think there's a market for Cam. I think that I said this before with Teddy Bridgewater. There's a market for him because Teddy wins. I think there's a market for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he wins. Now, I think Teddy, the market may have been 3 to 4 to 5 teams. I think Garoppolo, 2 to 3 to 4 teams. Cam doesn't win enough, and it's just painful to watch him. It's just hard to watch. Everything looks difficult. But this goes back to something I talked about 3 years ago. When I said it 3 years ago, I got nothing but pushback, and I think today most of you will agree with me, is that athletes age differently. I compared Cam to Russell Westbrook 3 years ago, and Russell was like MVP guy, and nobody wanted to hear this. I said, he's going to age poorly. He's going to age poorly as you age in basketball. Cam and Westbrook's games are so driven by physicality. But as you watch the NFL change to an efficiency league, Cam's not efficient as a player. As you watch the NBA change to a shooter's league, Westbrook can't shoot threes. Westbrook at times is painful to watch shoot. Cam last night is painful at times to watch throw. Is that players age differently. Sometimes the culture, the sport moves away from you. Sometimes, Steph Curry, it moves into you. Shoot more threes. And I think Westbrook, the game's moved away from his physicality. That's not the league. He doesn't really have moves. He just blows past you. And increasingly, over the next 4 or 5 years, Russell won't blow by as many people. He'll have to shoot more, and it just gets uglier and uglier. And I think similar to Cam, you got to do better in the pocket. And his game is, the sport is moved away from him. He's had an injury, and I think it's painful to watch. Last 16 games, he's won 6. He's got 5 touchdown passes. This is Carolina and New England. He's a 74 passer rating guy, 75. So, I think when you rely on physicality for your game, you don't age as well. And I said that it was a baseball player years ago. Jose Reyes played for the Mets. And I remember saying this at ESPN when I was there. I said, he's a great player, but somebody paid him a big contract. And I'm like, his sport is legs. It's not going to age well. He's going to just go. You see this with wide receivers oftentimes, speed wide receivers. They lose the speed. You don't have the game. Receivers like Steve Smith Sr., who run great routes, Hines Ward, big blocking receivers. It's different based on what is your game. Robert Woods for the Rams, by the way, could play a long time if he's healthy. He's a great blocking wide receiver. He's a very good route-running wide receiver. He's not really a guy based on speed. He's fast, but not a burner. Tyreek Hill's game may not age as well. It's all about burning. It's all about just running past people. So I think Cam and Westbrook, there's a similarity here. I think it can be painful. The game's moved away, very dependent on physicality. And I don't see a market for Cam. There wasn't a market before he got to the Patriots. It was mostly a prove-it contract. And I don't think anybody's watching that in the NFL right now saying, I got to have that. I just don't see it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Eric Mangini, 3 years with Cleveland, with the Jets, couple of years with the Browns. He is now joining me as he often does on Friday. 3 rings with the Patriots. All right, you watched the Patriots last night. Are there solutions easy? I look at them. And in an increasingly weapons-driven league, tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, I just don't see a lot of speed. I don't see dynamic game changers. I see them all over the field for the Rams. How do you solve this mess? This is not great. Like, how do you solve this stuff?
Well, I don't think it's a short-term solve. The most disappointing part of that game for me last night was what New England did defensively. I mean, rarely do you see them get gashed like that in the running game and jump off sides on 4th and 1. And some of those things to me are uncharacteristic. And I think will get fixed, you know, from an offensive perspective. It's, they're transitioning from the O-line, losing Dante Scarnecchia as the O-line coach hurts them. The other thing that was surprising last night is guys running free, not even getting a hat for hat. On some of the Rams sacks, it's gonna be fixed, and I think last night was a little bit more of an aberration than necessarily the way it's gonna trend.
But I've said this, Eric, and I've seen this in every industry I've ever. I used to work at a big company, ESPN, and they were formidable and they were dominant. And you start believing in your system, you start listening to less people outside of your sphere. You start believing into your good press. And I look at New England, and the more Super Bowls they win, the worse they are at drafting offensive players outside of the O-line. And, you know, the arrogance is a real human trait for successful, rich people. And some of this is, I look at them, boy, Eric, they don't draft offense very well. Frankly, they don't have a lot of players that anybody would else want. Isn't that a fair criticism?
It's an absolutely fair criticism. But when you look at arrogance, a lot of people become arrogant after one Super Bowl. We see that all the time in the NFL, where a team wins a Super Bowl and they're giving everybody else advice on how to repeat, and they never even sniff the Super Bowl again. New England's had 20 years of success and you know, unprecedented Super Bowl victories. So to look at them with the same sort of guise of arrogance of big corporations, or I don't think that's fair. I don't think they have done typically a great job of drafting offensive talent. That's not necessarily a strength, and they've been able to do that because having Tom Brady, who maximizes the intellectual side and takes advantage of coverages, has been able to to cover that.
Yeah. By the way, it's all said and done now. Tom, if he wins this weekend, they'll be poised for a wild card slot. New England's not doing anything. The divorce, the breakup today. Where do you? What's your opinion on it? Both sides.
But look, I think both sides would have been better together. I think that Tom in Tampa is going through that frustration of having to learn a system. And the reason you bring Tom Brady in is he's not lighting it up athletically. He's lighting it up because he understands what the coverages are. He understands how the offense works. He understands how to get the ball into the right place. And when you now force a guy like that to learn, you're not maximizing his impact on the team. And I think what we just talked about with New England, he'd be able to maximize the ability in New England because of his time with Josh McDaniels, because of how well he knew the system, and both would be better off if they'd stayed another year together.
So you live in Cleveland, and the Monday Night Football, this is a big stage. Baltimore's been in dozens of games, Harbaugh. And I like Cleveland this weekend, but you know that. You coached in Cleveland, and you coached in the Jets. And sometimes non-traditional powers get into these big stages after a win, Eric, and they're just feeling themselves. I mean, I know, we're laughing, but we this is a real thing. And how do you think Cleveland responds Monday night in their biggest game in a decade off a great win?
Well, look, I thought the opening game of the season was a little bit of hazing of Kevin Stefanski when you put a rookie head coach with two rookie coordinators against the Ravens and all that experience with no preseason, well, all the challenges. So now fast forward to where we are now. What I love about the Browns and the way that Kevin's handled the team and the way that the team has responded is you're not hearing about all the other stuff. Nobody's complaining about what Colin Cowherd said about him on his show. Nobody's talking about, what they're going to do in the playoffs. They're just focusing on the next challenge. It's so it's so refreshing to hear and to see. And I think they've got a really good coaching staff. And I think they've got a great opportunity, not just to win this game, but to make a bunch of noise moving forward.
Let's do the opposite of that, which is the Steelers, which have a remarkable history and brand, but they can't run the football. They don't attempt to run the football. Aaron Rodgers right now is 14th in the league in attempts. Last year, Mahomes was 18th. Russell Wilson was 22nd when he won a Super Bowl. Aaron was 14th when he won a Super Bowl. Big Ben's number one. He's averaging 50 throws a game. I think we buy into him because of the brand, and I watched him again last weekend, and I'm like, man, I don't like where they're at. My feeling is you do. Let's update the Steelers' opinion today.
Well, look, I know there was a study on another one of our shows that talked about the first 8 years of Big Ben versus the second 8 years and how much he threw the ball and their success. But if you look at that, the first 8 years that Ben was in the league, they had a top three defense or better, scoring defense or better, six out of those 8 years. Over the past 8 years, they haven't. This is the first year they've even sniffed that situation. So Ben's had to carry the load. It's easier to run the ball when you're playing really good defense. Now, that being said, to establish a running game and to be able to build off the running game, every team needs it. And Seattle's learning about that as much as anybody this year. So do I think the numbers are skewed? Yes and no. I think that the defense has changed dramatically. And if I was going to put the team in anybody's hands, to me, it'd be Ben Roethlisberger.
By the way, the Wentz topic has been fascinating for us because I do think if he went to the Colts and Frank Reich and got better, I don't think his salary, at least for the Colts, is an issue. I mean, again, $35 million for a good quarterback is what you pay. But for the Eagles, I guess I could make the argument that if they moved Wentz, they're not paying Jalen Hurts anything, so the quarterback position wouldn't be that punitive, although it's awful to have like that dead cap money. What do you do in Philadelphia today? Well, I mean, seriously, you ran the team. What do you do with the Wentz situation?
Carson Wentz has to work. Carson Wentz has to work, or there's going to be a new head coach. That's just the way it is. And it may not be the short term where he has to work, but when you've got a situation where you've got $59 million in dead cap money, if you move on from him next season, that's a problem. If you've sold your owner on the fact that this is our franchise quarterback and that he should get a second contract and he should get that contract early, and then you say, look, he's broken beyond repair, that doesn't fly. And I understand why they're moving to Hurts in the short term. He can move around better than Wentz can. But I watched that game last week, the coach's copy. The O-line has problems. They didn't run the ball very effectively. The receivers weren't getting open. I didn't think they necessarily called a bunch of plays that were as beneficial to Carson as could have possibly been. But if you say that this guy's broken, then to me you probably have a new head coach, you know, with the next quarterback.
By the way, touching on let's go back to the Rams game. Boy, I tell you what, that defense is really good. They've got really nice skill players. I really like them. I know you watch them and like them. Is there something that worries you about the Rams?
Yeah, it's similar to the 49ers. When they were playing the Cardinals, I was thinking about that game, and you look at it and you think, okay, well, Kyler Murray, the Cardinals are relying on him to win the game, and you look at the Rams and you think, okay, they just want to make sure that Jared Goff doesn't lose the game. And that's a difficult situation to be in. You know, his touchdown to interception ratio is a big concern. His overall decision making, kind of like the 49ers with Garoppolo, they had a lot of different ways that they could win. And when they got into the most critical times, they kept taking the ball out of the quarterback's hands. And can you win a Super Bowl doing that way, or go to a Super Bowl that way and not rely on the quarterback? Yeah, you can. It's hard to really get behind them when you don't feel like they're really behind the quarterback.
So that same way. I like Goff better than Garoppolo. Do you?
Yeah. In fairness to Goff, I think that, or actually to Garoppolo, I think that the Rams have done a great job of building the running game and then creating plays off the running game that help Goff quite a bit. I think a lot of quarterbacks of sort of his level and Garoppolo's level would benefit from that. I'd say, yeah, between the two, I would probably lean towards Goff as well.
All right. Not much of an endorsement there. That was, you know, it's not like, not like you're giving him.
Well, I didn't hear you endorsing him that wholeheartedly either. I like him a little better.
I think he's a slightly more athletic, better deep ball thrower than Matt Ryan. That's what I think he is. I think he throws a better
deep. You think he's a better deep ball thrower than Matt Ryan?
Boy, Matt's arm in the last year or two. Coach, if he's not set.
I like Matt Ryan better than both those guys.
All right.
Well, easily.
All right. We'll see you soon, Coach. Enjoy your Ohio winter. I know you love it out there in Cleveland.
Hey, it's 50 degrees here. It's blazing. So okay. You know, I might go get a 10.
Eric Mangini, good stuff.